Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com. And a chilly, chilly night. I could see my breath in the air this morning. And there was a lot of dew on the ground. And it was a reminder that colder weather is coming. The forecast really looks like October with a lot of weather in the 60s and evenings, nights in the 40s. This is... It's only mid-September, but again, some chilly weather coming. And for those of you that love pesto, like I do, that means you probably should harvest your basil now. So today, after the broadcast, is pesto day here in our house. We'll be harvesting a bumper crop of basil this year. And there have been some years in the past where I was too busy and put off harvesting the basil, and we got some nights in the 40s, and the basil just looks terrible. It doesn't need to freeze for it to really lose quality and just less appetizing. It just needs to, get down in the 40s, low 40s, and it's not going to look good. So don't wait. If you have basil and you've been thinking you want to make some pesto, do that now and freeze it. That's what we do. We just puree the leaves with olive oil, pack it into little mason jars, put a little olive oil on the top to keep any oxygen out. That's what turns it black. And we have, we'll probably end up with a dozen or more meals of pesto for the winter and spring, or fall, late fall, winter and spring, hopefully. So pesto's one of our whole family's favorite foods, and you don't want to wait too long to harvest that basil. And we have a lot this year. I planted more than usual. I gave it different spaces. It seems to have appreciated that. I usually plant it mainly in containers that surround our raised bed. But this year, put it in some of the main part of the garden. And it just gets more access to moisture that way. The pots tend to limit it, and so it's grown very lushly. So is the Swiss chard and kale. The sunflowers are still blooming like crazy. And kind of a funny thing with the sunflowers, these are hybrids several times over, because I haven't planted them. They just grow from seeds that drop from the previous year. And you can kind of see, I think this is an example of sort of seed selection and kind of what Fruition Seeds does in Naples. When you have, they'll plant a whole field or a whole row, hundreds of plants of flowers or vegetables or whatever, and then they, they're all going to be a little bit different, even though they're the same variety. They are slightly different, and they'll field select. They'll go in and look for those that have the best looking fruit, the least disease impact, all kinds of things. But so what I'm noticing with these sunflowers is that these hybrids over several years, they're not. Some of them are fine. Some of them, the stems just aren't strong enough for all the flowers and seeds. And so we've had three or four of them break. And these are, 9-foot tall sunflowers, which send out multiple flowering heads, lots and lots of flowering heads. It's not like some of the sunflowers that are just, one big massive head. So these have lots of heads, are been blooming for months. They're spectacular. But in a couple of these windstorms and things, they're just broken in half. And what looks like a very sturdy stem is really just a hollow stem. And it just couldn't take the weight of all of these seed heads. And so I prune some of them off and try to take some of the heaviest ones off the other sunflowers just to give them a chance. They are like nature's bird feeders. We have chickadees and goldfinches that are hanging out in our sunflowers pretty much all day long. And sometimes the occasional blue jay or cardinal. And they're just such great flowers. So I was up at Sunscape Farm Market in Greece. It's on Maiden Lane and the Red Barn. There's a couple farm markets there, but it's the one with the Red Barn. And it's a space where Deconics Farm Market was. Sunscape also has a spot in Penfield up on Creek Street near Webster. So a couple locations, but the Greece one has these sunflowers, and I forget the name of them, but it's more of a shrub sunflower. So they're 3 or 4 feet tall, lots of small sunflowers. So it's not a, it definitely looks like a sunflower, but it's just a different size. And if you love sunflowers, this one seems to bloom really well and for a long time. You know, one of the disadvantages of the mammoth sunflowers, one big head, which is impressive. They get really big. We've had them before. But then they don't send off any more flowers. They just produce that one head. And if you get sunflowers that produce all season long, they're far more spectacular. Those big mammoth heads perhaps produce bigger sunflower seeds and a lot of them on that big head. But the birds, you know, the little tiny goldfinches and chickadees, they don't mind the smaller seeds from these smaller sunflower heads. And it's fun to watch them. And it's just, you know, sunflowers are bright and cheery. And so we've really enjoyed them this year. But again, I have a sense for the fact that some of them, you know, in these variations that have grown, that they just didn't have a strong enough stem. And so that's what you would do in choosing locally adapted seeds. You would plant a row of these sunflowers and then, you know, not save the seeds from the sunflowers that were broken. Sometimes this happens with flowers, you know, where the flower stem is just not strong enough for the flower. And, you know, they'll be selected out eventually. But you may notice there's some that are just slightly different, and maybe some that are extraordinarily large and got a really strong stem. And, you know, sometimes I've seen the daylilies that Charlie and Judy Zedek hybridize, and you know, they're choosing seedlings that then start to bloom where, you know, the foliage doesn't overwhelm the flowers, where they they're a nice proportion. There's lots of flower buds. All of these things just slightly different. And so if you're saving your own seeds, and fruition seeds, although they sell seeds, they also strongly encourage people to save seeds. Save your own seeds from some of your fruits and vegetables and flowers. Maybe even you know, lettuce and other things have gone to seed by mistake. You maybe left them there just for fun or because you forgot about them. And consider saving some of these seeds for next year. I think Fruition Seeds sells, if not 100%, almost 100% open pollinated seeds. So these are intended to be saved. And I think it's kind of amazing when you take a squash, for example, and you really love this squash, great variety. And so you decide to save the seeds, which, of course, you need to scrape those seeds out before you bake the squash. If you bake it whole, you're baking the seeds. So you cut the squash in half, scrape out the seeds, lay each half down on a pan and bake it, and then dry out those seeds. And you have have an extraordinary number of seeds for next year, depending on the size of the squash. We got a little butternut squash this week from a farm market, and it had, you know, maybe 10 seeds in it. It was mainly the flesh that you want. But sometimes, you know, squashes or pumpkins, you can get hundreds of seeds in each one. And, you know, really each one of those seeds can potentially produce a bunch of squash, which means you can go from one squash, and next year, let's say you planted out all of those 150 seeds, and each of those plants grew and prospered and gave you, you know, three squashes. Now you've gone from one squash to, you know, like 450 squash. It's really, that's extraordinary. Now, not all of them are going to survive. Not all the seeds will be viable. Not all will germinate next year, but a substantial portion probably will if you store them correctly. So think about maybe some flowers, seeds you'd like to save, maybe so you can have more. I mean, take marigolds, for example. You can buy a pack of six in the next spring, and you'll have six nice marigolds. Or you can save some of the seeds this fall and have hundreds of marigolds. One marigold pod probably has, I don't know, I gotta count them sometime. It's gotta be at least 50 seeds in a marigold pod. And each plant will produce a whole bunch of these pods. So you really have a great chance to grow a lot of marigolds next year. And maybe you don't want that many marigolds, so you share them with family and friends. And maybe expand and you have less lawn and more marigolds next year. So think about saving some seeds. It really is kind of a fun thing to do, and they're inexpensive. They're downright cheap. Rochester Civic Garden Center used to do a seed exchange in January. That was a lot of fun. Online Rochester Gardening Group has continued that, but did not or won't be able to do it probably this January, I'm guessing. But they will be doing it in the future. And again, seed saving is a lost art. We need to do more seed saving. And so find a couple things that you might want to save the seeds from, and generally you can help dry them out by putting them in paper bags rather than in a, you don't want to really put them in a plastic Ziploc right away, because there's a lot of moisture in there, and they will get moldy and rot, and you won't have anything to start in the spring. So you can't put them in Ziplocs right away. You need to let them dry out, and again, paper bags. Once they're pretty dry, paper bags will help a lot. And for quite a few years, I've been promoting the idea of, you know, planting seeds really early in the spring, or maybe even tossing some out there in the fall, because that's what Mother Nature does. You know, all these seeds are generally falling on the ground this summer and fall and winter, and then they germinate in the spring. But this past spring was, we had the, and still have the coronavirus, so it was a bizarre spring anyway. But I had several plants, carrots and kale in particular, which I planted the seeds early, but didn't plant them in the last fall. I put them in early spring, probably March. And they got fooled by Mother Nature, and Mother Nature convinced them they went through a winter, and they decided to go to seed. Those are plants that normally go to seed the second year. So let's say you have some kale in your garden right now. If you allow it to stay there all winter, and it will probably survive, next spring it will be still, it'll be alive, but it's not going to produce many leaves. It's going to send up a flower head and flowers. So So these got fooled into growing last fall, or they got fooled into thinking it had gone through winter, and so they went to seed, and these two varieties of carrots and kale, you know, were lost. You can't use them if they go to seed, except if you want to save seeds, and then you'll have more. But I'm not sure I want to save seeds of something that, you know, that is, I would say, not resilient, but it's, you know, temperamental and maybe more likely to bolt, go to seed when the weather fools it into thinking it's been through winter. So I don't think I'll save those seeds, but also I might try doing some more planting and at different times. So instead of putting all that kale in at once, that wasn't that much, but instead of putting all those seeds in at once, I might put them in over a several week period and hedge my bets a little bit. It is a little late to put in too many seeds right now, although something like radishes just takes 30 days. Lettuce, you may find some seedlings that, I don't know if Todd Lighthouse is selling lettuce seedlings right now. Forgot to check about that when I saw him at the Brighton Farmers Market, but it's getting late to get a crop this year for most things, and radishes take about 30 days. So if you like radishes and you have an area that gets some sun, you might give them a try. This time of the year, the sun gets lower in the sky and the trees around us limit the sun for our garden. And so we'll see if the tomatoes up on our second floor roof take advantage of the extra sun they get up there. It makes a huge difference just up that, I don't know, 15 feet higher on our flat roof over our dining room. I didn't get a chance to update people on monarchs. I've still seen them around. They'll probably leave for Mexico in the next couple of weeks, some point in mid to late September. I ended up raising about 120 from our yard, and they just an amazing process. And if you want to raise some monarchs next year, and you haven't been able to find eggs, which are hard to find, I have the advantage that the milkweed is in my yard, and so I can actually watch them lay the eggs, which helps to figure out where they are, and it's easier to check these milkweed. I just go out my front door and I can look for these eggs, and so I found a lot over the last few years, and be happy to give you some next year. Probably a dozen people or more that got eggs or caterpillars from me this summer. And one person that was neighbor's kids, another person just loves to do it, and he refers to himself as the vice commander of the monarch fleet, and goes out in search of some of his own too. And so doesn't have to be kids, enjoy raising monarchs, and it was a pretty good year for them. I really thought we were raising the third generation and we'd have another generation of monarchs, but that didn't happen. I was just wrong, I think, about the timing of it. And so the ones that we were raising were that fourth generation, which is the one that flies to Mexico. And again, they'll be leaving soon, which means that over the next week or two, or maybe over the last, in the past week, you may see some groupings of monarchs that have maybe come across Lake Ontario or are, you know, sort of gathering to migrate. And it's generally in the fall, in September, when we get occasional reports of, you know, 20, 30 monarchs on a butterfly bush or something, or sometimes just resting on a shrub or a tree, sometimes maybe 50 or more. So they seem to congregate and maybe rest after going over Lake Ontario, and then head south. They also may wait for northerly winds. So the monarchs they're smart, you know. Why fight a south wind coming at you at 15 miles an hour when you could take a 15 mile an hour assist and head south with winds coming out of the north? So the colder weather gives them a ride and makes a huge difference, amount of energy they have to consume as they're flying south. So if you want some milkweed plants, let me know. You can always email me, michael@saverlife.com. It is a weed. I mean, weed is in the name of milkweed. It spreads underground fairly vigorously, but it doesn't generally come up everywhere. So it doesn't overwhelm things like some weeds can do. It kind of coexists pretty well in our garden. I pull some of it out where, you know, it's shading some of my vegetables or something, but it kind of coexists pretty well in the garden. If you get milkweed seeds, which I've got pods and seeds if anyone wants those, the seeds are going to take a couple years before a monarch will be able to really lay an egg on it and raise. It'll have enough milkweed to eat. It's a perennial, and as most perennials, they takes a couple years before they become significant plants. So if you want a significant plant sooner, you need to get some roots of an existing milkweed, and again, be happy to get some for you. And you know, I can pull out some of the ones that I have in our garden, put them in a pot for you and leave them. Just email me, michael@saverlife.com, if you're interested and want to maybe have a little bit of milkweed for next year. If you get the roots and they get in and get established this fall, you will you'll probably have some decent-sized milkweed next year. One final note, Linwood Gardens has been having some open garden days this summer. And you know, this is especially perfect for maybe people that live in apartment buildings or condos and just don't have that much space outside. And you know, the parks can be busy. So Linwood Gardens is an expansive property. They don't have that many people that go for their open garden days, and they have one today. So what a stunning day to go out. And it's $20 per person. Kids are always free, and it's a $20 contribution to help them maintain the gardens. It's 10 to 4 today, also next Saturday and the following Saturday, September 26th. You can register online, linwoodgardens.org, and you have to register online because they don't want too many people showing up. The summer house, they know, is closed. There's no restroom facilities, so keep that in mind. Leave your pets at home. That is important. So it's not, all those tree peonies are not in bloom right now at Linwood Gardens. None of them are in bloom. They're known for tree peonies, have hundreds of them, 400 or 500 maybe. They have a lot of tree peonies, but they have other beautiful gardens, and you look out over the Genesee Valley. It is really gorgeous. And you could bring a book to read. You could bring a blanket to sit on. You could bring a camping chair. You could bring some things to paint or sketch or write. You could bring your camera and do some photography, play around with some close-ups, just experiment maybe. It's a stunning property and some great old walls and grottos and just interesting spaces. Kind of a whole variety of separate gardens and several water fountains. It's really a stunning property. So if you want to go somewhere different and you're, you know, again, socially distancing, trying to keep yourself safe in. And Lynwood Gardens is a perfect place. It's maybe 40 minutes from downtown Rochester. And I've combined it with visits to Perry, to the hole-in-the-wall restaurant in Letchworth State Park. It's maybe 20 minutes from Perry. So you could plan to go have lunch or something and then go to Lynwood or vice versa. Invite again, 10 to 4 today and the next two Saturdays. It's linwoodgardens.org, L-I-N-W-O-O-D, linwoodgardens.org. Also, you know, the bulbs are starting to come in the stores. I saw Sarah's Garden Center post a photo of some of the bulbs. They always get, they don't have the most extensive collection of bulbs at Sarah's Garden Center, but they always have some of the most interesting bulbs. Invariably, I end up getting a few different, maybe tulips or other bulbs that I don't have. It's colors, fascinating colors. So check out what they have at Sarah's and some of the other garden centers. Bristol's always has a quite extensive selection of bulbs. And you know, fall's the time to put those in. Generally, maybe later September, October, but you could probably put them in now. And fall is the best time to plant. So whether it's shrubs, trees, it's not the best time to plant for basil and tomatoes. It's late for those, obviously, way late. But for any perennial or shrub or tree, this is an ideal time to put them in the ground. Sometimes you'll find them on sale. They will need lower maintenance because you won't need to water them as much in the fall as you will if you plant them in the spring. And you'll basically get a year head start. They'll get the roots established this winter. You'll have a bigger plant in the spring. You'll have a lower maintenance plant in the spring. It's going to flower more. Just now is the best time to plant. And you know, avid gardeners know that and do a lot of planting and moving and transplanting and things in the fall. But the general gardener sees all the commotion in the spring and all the advertising and all the, you know, they're excited about spring because you just survived winter. So garden centers sell most of their plants in the spring, but fall is actually a better time to plant. So keep that in mind and maybe fill in some spaces, try some plants you've never tried before, start a couple new areas of gardens this fall, and take advantage of the fact that fall is the best time of the year to plant. We will be back with For Love of Food, Discover the Finger Lakes today, and tomorrow it's the grapevine. Email me if you have comments, questions, or send me a photo if you want some help identifying something. Michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day.